Hey, I'm Michael Dorinda.
And I'm Jake Bennett.
And welcome to episode 155 of the North Meet South Web podcast.
Hey, everybody. How's it going? I am back in town. Last week, when we were recording the Laravel News podcast, I was at a conference in Chicago, Chi-Town, and got to hang out with some fun folks. TJ Miller was there, which was really cool, and Jason McCreary, that was a good time. And then Joel Claremont and Aaron Saray, which are two dudes from No Compromises, which was fun. Yeah, it was a good time. It's good fun. A good time. Met some other Laravel devs there and got to give the State Machines Talk version 2. Not a whole lot changed. A couple little things here and there. Got to hear TJ Miller talk about his AI, Sparkle and Shine stuff. And I finally understand what it is now, which was really fun. So we can talk about that a little bit on the show, but glad to be home. Good to be back. And if you're watching this live, you will know that there's a happy birthday banner behind me. And this happens quite often. In fact, it's sort of a running joke now on the show.
Michael, it is a running gag. Michael, it feels like there's always a happy birthday banner there, which is obviously not the case. But sure. I think there's a period through like May, June, where you've got a few birthdays, like your birthday, your Harrison's birthday, and then there's like obviously one now. And then there's a few more later in the year. Yeah.
That's right. Yep. So Lyndon has her birthday right now. And then it's my birthday and then Harrison's birthday, all within a pretty short period of time. So yes, it all kind of falls in the same area there. And so, yeah, it's fun. It's kind of the birthday section of the year. And so, yeah, we're celebrating my daughter's 11th birthday today. So that's really cool. Nice. Super fun. And it was a good day for her. So, yep, got the birthday banner up. It's kind of cool. Like, we have the same birthday banner that we've had for forever. Like, I think we've had this since my one kid was just tiny. And then we actually have a birthday plate, too, that we have that we always eat. Yeah, it's a plate that we always eat. Whatever whoever has, you know, it's their birthday. They eat their cake off that plate. It's just a happy birthday plate. Laura made it when our kids were like, I think Graham was 2. And so, it's a fun little tradition. It's good times.
What kind of cake? Very important question.
So today it was a bundt cake. There's this bundt cake. There was a there's a place in town called Nothing Bundt Cakes. That's the name of it. And they make bundt cakes and they're super good. And I don't know if you've never had a bundt cake, it's sort of like a shaped cake. I don't know. It's like you have this little mold and they put it in there and they flip it upside down and it pops out.
Like a jelly mold, right?
Yeah, exactly. And I think we had two different flavors. We had like vanilla and then there was like blueberry lemon, which was really good. So yeah, and then it was just fun. It's a busy day today because the kids are in a play this time of year, and so they're all practicing until like late this week, like 8:30, 9 o'clock. And the show is on Friday. So yeah, we didn't get to do any dessert stuff until late today, but it was fun. It was a good day. So how about you, my friend? How was your day? What'd you guys do today?
Eli's back at school this week, so he was a bit nervous about going back, which, you know, after 2 weeks off and not seeing everyone and kind of just hanging out and he was, you know, Monday night he was a bit nervous, but Tuesday it was like 6:45. He's like, can we go to school now, is it time to go? Like for an hour and a half, and we got to school when he was a bit nervous because he was waiting for his friends to turn up. We got there early because, you know, he'd been wanting to go for an hour and a half, and once his friends turned up, it was like, see you later, Dad. Like, not even see you later, Dad. Just got up and left.
Just left.
Yeah.
That's funny. So, no warm-up period needed. Just running off, playing with the boys.
As soon as the friend's there, he's out. So, which is like, you know, I kind of feel bad because it's like, hey, I want to give him a hug. Just send him off to school. Yeah. But at the same time, it's like, he's gone. You don't want to embarrass
him. Exactly.
You know, come back and give me a hug, mate. So,
For sure.
Yeah, but he was definitely tired out by it because, you know, he got into that angry, cranky, tired phase last night, like just yelling. It's like, all right, okay, we've got to just work through this. We can make it to bedtime. And by the time he gets to bed, he's all right. Just a big sweetheart there, reads his stories, has his cuddles, and off he goes. So, yeah, it's been good.
Fun times.
But yeah,
and then you're also, go ahead.
Yeah, they had a pupil free day on Monday. So I had the day off to look after the kids Monday. Kept Liv home from childcare as well. We went bowling and had a bit of fun there, sort of brushing up on my bowling, getting ready for Aracon.
Did you bowl with the bumpers, Michael? Did you put the bumpers up?
I bowled with the bumpers, yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Do
you want the bumpers, you know, for all three of you?
And for the kids.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I was like, no, it's fine. I I don't bowl into the bumpers. The kids, they use like, you know, the rail, the ramp that you can like roll the ball down.
Right.
Because after, you know, after five or six games, the ball gets a bit heavy, so they're not throwing it anymore. But it like, it doesn't take much, because when the ball slides down that ramp, it kind of wobbles. And so the ball doesn't go where you aim it anyway. But it's like, it doesn't take much movement for that ball to just
to get it into the bumper.
Into the bumpers. So
yes.
Yeah. It got to the end, and like, I had been bowling as I've been bowling, and it got towards the end, I gained a bit of a lead on the kids, and I was like, nah, I'm just gonna like, but you can't throw gutter bowls when the bumpers are up. So I'm just like trying to get it
right.
Straight down
the
side.
What are you supposed to
avoid
do?
Hitting the pins. But I think the lane that we were on was a bit dodgy as well, because there was like four or five times where I bowled and I like took two pins out, and I go to have my second bowl so I can send the ball back down the lane, and it's like, you bowled a strike. I'm like, I absolutely did not bowl a strike. Took two pins out
funny.
Tops. So yeah,
that's
we
funny.
Eli's like, who won? I'm like, Liv won this one. You know,
she
was ahead of, don't worry about dad's score. Dad's just here for, and you know, got to
just
like,
for practice.
The seventh frame, and I was like, yeah, you kids can just throw the ball down the lane an extra couple of goes, because they're like, we want to go, because there's the arcade, so they got to go play the arcade as well. So.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Bowling alleys all have to have arcades.
Yeah, we've got like the tap and go, like the recharge card to go into, and it's just like money disappears so quickly.
Oh,
it's
my word,
like $2.50 for a game, and the games don't last very long with a 3-year-old and a 5-year-old. So
whatever happened to the quarter game days, right? I mean, that was it. That was the golden era of video games. I was thinking back, do you remember?
Because the alleys are not making the money on these things. It has to go back to the, like, whoever owns the machines.
Yeah. And typically like on the machine where you give the money, where you put the money in, there'll be like, hey, if you need any help, call this number or whatever.
Yeah. Definitely don't call the venue.
Yeah. Pro tip. We were in Florida. There was a little arcade like that at the hotel we were staying at, and it was my son's birthday. And so I called them on the thing, and I was like, hey, do you guys do anything for birthdays? They're like, like what? I was like, do you guys give away like free tokens or anything for birthdays? And they're like, well, we don't usually. I was like, well, I've got a kid turning like 5. I was like, do you guys like want to like give any free games or anything? The guy's like, you already have a card? I was like, yeah. He's like, what's the number? I read it to him. And he's like, all right, happy birthday. I was like, went to the machine, he put $50 on there.
That's pretty good.
$50. I was like, no way. And so Harrison had a heyday. It was crazy. He was playing every game. Didn't look at any of the number, you know, how many tokens. They just put every game. Was awesome.
It's pretty good. Yeah it's nice. Like, all you have to do is ask. Like, people, you just got to ask. We've seen this around the community for ages. This is this is what this other spin-off podcast of mine is. It's all about, you know, putting yourself out there. Just ask the questions.
Yep.
The worst they can say is no.
But yeah, exactly. I was even listening.
They might give you $50 worth of tokens, you know?
Totally. I was listening to James Brooks' Happy Dev Season 2, which I love that podcast. It's really fun. And he said that's how he got the job working for Laravel. Yeah. As Taylor posted the Forge job, and he said, "Sounds great, I'll take it.
I'll
take the job."
No worries.
Like, all right, it sounds good. So funny, but yeah, he said that same thing. He's like, "If you don't ask, you don't get." Like, it's like, just ask. And so sometimes, the worst they can say is no. I was going to say, do you remember? I mean, I don't know how long ago it was when you were bowling when you were a kid, you know, but I remember when we would get bumpers, they would have this big blue inflatable like thing that they'd put in the bumper or put in the gutter, and they'd blow it up and it would like roll all the way down the lane. That was like the earliest bumper things that they had. It wasn't like a rail that came up on the sides to like bump off of. It was literally inflated. Isn't that crazy? But I remember,
the first time I ever went bowling, I would have been like 10 or 11, and it was definitely like the rail that came out. It was not. No inflatable snake or anything.
And it was like, it was like an air mattress, you know what I mean? But it was like, it was long, it was like a long blue inflatable tube that would go down the gutter. It was hilarious. And so it just kind of like lazily bounce off this thing. You know, it was ridiculous. So
you don't want to hit that either. That'll impact the velocity of the ball as well.
Yes, it did. It would. Just and
some of its motion.
Yep. You didn't care because I was 4, 5, you know, at the time, but good times. Hey, anyway, I was going to say also, you've got some Laracon stuff that you're prepping for as well, cooking up over on the Laracon AU kitchen. What you got going on over on that side?
Yeah, so we put a teaser out last week, I think, of some of the branding that we're doing. So,
which looks so good.
we're not doing the brown and yellow. You the Cash Money has seen some bits and pieces of the direction we're taking it. The website is done now. I was wiring it all up to all of our like ConvertKit and you know, just redoing the, because we redesigned it, so I had to rewire up all of the speaker submission and the sponsorship stuff last night, and just going through all the content and things like that, just to make sure that, you know, there's no typos and we're covering everything off. So the website is done. We'll be just going through bits and pieces now, but we're just putting the finishing touches on what the marketing plan is for that. So we will, after we finish recording this, I've got some bits and pieces that I need to film, and we'll be doing like a little announcement later today.
That'd be awesome.
For more details. So by the time this episode is out, you will have already seen it probably. So we've got 2 weeks left.
You feel ahead of schedule from where you usually are? Like, do you feel good? I know you started like prepping for 2024, like as soon as 2023 was done. So it feels are killing it.
Everything in terms of like the behind the scenes stuff is ready. You know, the venues organized, the hotels organized. We've got like the hotel for speakers is all organized. We've organized all of the venues for networking and after dark and all that kind of stuff. Like all of that is locked away now. So really the only thing left now is obviously to select the speakers and to launch the website and put tickets on sale, which I feel like we're a little bit behind on, only because like, as we were kind of planning, when I say we, like myself and Nucleus, the agency that's doing all of the branding for us, we kind of got to a point where we found that like there's too much information that we need to publish this year to make it a one pager, you know, to communicate everything that we want to communicate. So it took a little bit longer to kind of figure out what those extra pages look like and put all of that information together. So we're in a good spot. We're a little bit behind where we had planned to be at the start of the year in terms of scheduling, but I think we'll be okay. You know, I think we're about a week behind at the moment, which is not too bad.
Not bad. Yeah.
So you've got
time to catch up.
I've got the marketing bit to do today, just as like a little get ready, keep your eyes peeled kind of video, and then we will have like a proper announcement video and the website launch and all of the email stuff going out.
Will you show all the branding, like when you do that big launch thing? Sweet.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Cool. So this will be all the full branding that we've been working on in secret for the last.
I'm secretly hoping you guys open up a Laracon AU store just for a bit, for in case I'm not able to make it, which I'm not going to be able to, but it would be amazing if I could buy a t-shirt. I know it's going to be expensive for shipping, but I'll pay it. Yeah. I've seen enough of the branding to know I want a shirt, and so cool stuff.
We entertained the idea last year, and we kind of landed on, you know, it's a you've got to be in the room where it happened kind of situation. We're like, you know, we can sell it.
It's exclusive.
It kind of diminishes the value of it. I'll look after you. That's okay.
It's the exclusivity thing, right? Like the supply and demand. Yeah, that sort of deal. I get that. I get that totally. Anyway, yeah, really excited for like the branding stuff. I know that, like I said, the stuff that I've seen is just incredible. It's hard to get that stuff right. You know what I mean? There's so many different directions you could go, and it's like you really have to. And sometimes it comes down to like making a brave choice. It's like, do I do just like the standard fare? Like this looks very conferency, or do I do something a little bit more edgy, but a sort of, you know, like a little bit more of a risk. And so, man, I'm really excited. I think it's turning out super cool. So excited for everybody else to be able to see it in the next couple of weeks here too.
It will be interesting. Like I think where we have landed, it's going to be great. Initially, I didn't know quite what it was with this idea. And so we initially knocked it back, but Nucleus came back and was like, we've got some ideas. So they went back and did a second round of refinement, and we're like, here is how we're going to kind of explore and expand the brand. And the way that we're looking at it is to have like the Laracon Australia brand as something that kind of fits in with Laracon EU and Laracon US to kind of make that recognizable as a Laracon. And then we will then have our own identity, which would be the kind of thing that we want to live on and we'll grow it year to year. So we don't have to do a full-scale branding exercise every 12 months, which is a lot of work. So
I think that's a great idea, honestly.
We were very full color last year in terms of, like, everything was, we used all the colors.
Yep, really colorful. See, you know, yep.
Back here. This year we've toned it down a little bit, but I think it's still going to be pretty snazzy. So we've got some great ideas to work on and expand on, you know, not only this year, but in the years to come as well. So see how that goes.
Yeah.
Taylor initially didn't like this idea either, but I said, no, we're going to go ahead with it anyway. So.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, you know, like you said, like sometimes you just got to kind of put it out there and see what happens. Mm-hmm. And so it'll be good. I'm really excited for it. I think it looks great. So it's fun. I was going to say we're probably about halfway through here, so I thought I would let you know kind of what I've been working on recently. We hired a brand new junior developer.
Straight out of boot camp.
Yes. Straight out of, not even boot camp, straight out of college, which is harder because, you know, you come out knowing C sharp or something, and that's that's it. So but he's a quick learner, and so, you know, I was listening to Daniel D. Cole and Caleb talk about stuff, and Daniel was just talking about, like, nobody's hiring juniors unless you're me, in which case I just taught all my friends to program and now that's what they do full time. And he's like, they're little mini Daniel Colborns because I taught them and they just do exactly what I do. And I'm like, this kind of sounds appealing, you know, like what would that be like? And the cool thing too, and I think maybe it was Ben Orenstein talked about this too, it was like the idea of just being able to have like a group of people locally that you can work with. I mean, that's pretty rare. Like, I feel like anymore that you have a group of developers locally, especially if you don't live in like a big city, which I don't. I live in a moderately sized city. It's not tiny, but it's not huge. It's not like a metropolis. You know, it's not a Chicago or a Adelaide or something like that. It's you know, not that large. So what I did is I hired this guy and I'm like, this guy's local, which was the biggest requirement I was looking for. And then I'm just teaching him from like the ground up. And the other thing I really wanted to be sure of is that this was something that got him really excited, you know? Mm-hmm. So it was like, when I, you know, talk about some of these problems that you're going to be solving, like, do his eyes light up? Is that like, does that sound like something that you would want to do for like the next 5 years? It's like, oh dude, yeah, that's super exciting. So I had another guy that I interviewed and he was like, I mean, you know, right now I'm just kind of looking for my next step in my career. I'm like, yeah, you're not the guy. You know what I mean? It's like, no,
you ain't.
I want somebody who wants to do this, you know, who really, who loves this stuff. And so he's that guy. So he's, it's been so interesting to kind of go through it and remember all the things that you forgot you learned. And it makes it so evident again that there are so many people out there who need great teachers and great education. You know, when it's like, I'm struggling to come up with an idea for a talk, it's like, holy cow, any of these things that I'm teaching him right now could be a full session, you know?
Yeah.
But so many times you literally forget. I'm talking about like Git, you know, like Git. Yeah. Like, how do you use Git effectively?
Critically, you having to go back and learn how to teach it puts you in the best position to teach it.
Right.
Because you are right in the weeds and you need to find for someone else, you know, how do I make this approachable?
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm so thankful once again for Laracasts because Jeffrey Way has so much good content on there. The one that I'm pushing my new developer through right now is PHP for Beginners. And he goes through everything from start, like literally from like, you know, bracket question mark PHP. You know what I mean? Like, what is a PHP tag? You know, how do you define a variable? What's an array? You know, like all this stuff. And Jeffrey just does such a great job of teaching it. But the other thing that I really like about it too, is that he gives him a project to work on as he goes through it. Not a Laravel project, just a PHP project. Like straight up, how do we do a form? How do form requests work? What is a CSRF token? All that. And what Landon was telling me, my new developer, what he's telling me is that he'll do it. He'll show you sort of like the long way. And then he'll say like, okay, now how can we make this better? And then he'll show you the easier way to do it. And then eventually, I know what's going to happen. At the end, he's going to be like, now all that stuff we learned, here's how Laravel makes that incredibly simple. But the great part about it is he's laying all that foundation. You know, here's all the stuff that you have to know. He's not just skipping that and going straight to the Laravel stuff. It's like, by the time you get to the Laravel stuff, you understand that this is a shortcut to what you originally learned how to do. And so, man alive, if I had to teach all that myself, just bare bones, just had to go straight from nothing to that, oh man, it would be a slog for sure. But man, Jeffrey Way is such a good teacher. So Good stuff. It's been really cool to kind of go through it and see the questions he has to ask and you know, some of the things he's learning. I'm like, oh yeah, I totally forgot about that. So it's been pretty cool.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, it's teaching is one of those things that you're either good at or you're not. Like, I don't think there's a gray area for teaching. You can either, and I mean, I suppose Jeffrey has the benefit of doing it all the time, and so it's fresh to him, and so he knows, you know, what actually resonates. But I spoke with Greg about this the other week, and it's like Eli learning to read now. I don't know how to teach him to read.
Yes,
and,
correct.
Because, you know, I don't remember 30 years ago when I was learning to read what the approach was, and I'm sure 30 years ago it was very different to what it is now. Like they come. He comes home from school with his books of like three letter words, and you know there's sight words like and the and he and whatever else, like the letters you just recognize them as all of these things that you recognize, and the sounds don't form the word. But then you know he's doing other things where he's like looking at Sam and he's going Sam like and he kind of phonetically puts these things together, which is like I wouldn't have known, you know, this is how we do it. So, and then that, you know, starting with these simple three letter words, and then they worked four letter words, and then, you know, before you know it, they're reading. So, but this was like last night. He got to page one of the book that he picked out to bring home, and it was like, nah, I'm not doing it. Like he just didn't want to. You know, he was tired, or was, you know, we left it a bit late, close to bed, and he just didn't want to play the game. But it's like frustrating for me because it's like, well, I'm trying to follow what you're doing and you're getting frustrated because you're tired. You know, he knows it. Like he knows the sounds and the letters and all of that kind of stuff, but he tries to, like, we have to cover the picture so that he doesn't try and guess. Cause when he tries to guess, he's kind of like guessing what's happening rather than reading. And it's not always correct. So yeah, it's a bit of an exercise in, you know, how much patience do you have some nights? Like most of the time he just blows through it. Like he's got it all figured out. And then every now and then it's a challenge. So
I know exactly what you mean though.
Tremendous level of respect for, you know, for Jeffrey, but like any teacher that has the ability to, you know, to make, and like, especially with kids, but like adults as well, they all learn in different ways and different things resonate and click with different people, which is why we say, you know, teach the thing that you're learning, teach the thing that you're excited about as you're learning it, as you're excited about it, because the way that it like makes sense for you may be the approach that someone else will understand and it will help them to learn it. So it's definitely not a thing for everyone, but those of you that are good at it, I have tremendous respect for you.
Yeah. The couple things there, like number one, it's so magical when your kids learn to read, you know what I mean? It's so cool. Even just a couple letter words, like even the fact that he can read Sam, I remember just being like, oh, well, that is so cool.
Yeah, he came home one day.
My kid can read.
Yeah. Excuse me.
Yeah. It's just the wildest thing. And then you'll be driving around somewhere and you'll hear them in the backseat, like sounding out something.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh my gosh, they know how to read. It's so cool. It's just so cool. And it sounds so basic, but it's like, it's amazing.
There's a game that, like, it's a web app. I don't know if it's something that you guys have over there. It's called Reading Eggs. And he's like, Dad, can I play Reading Eggs? I'm like, sure. You know, you get the iPad.
Oh, I'll check this out.
And you just, like, they've got a login through school. I don't know what the model is for like the public to use it, but you go in there and it helps sound it out, and you know it's all web-based, so you can use it anywhere basically. And he would just, like, sometimes he wants to just sit down and do Reading Eggs by himself unprompted whenever, you know, he's ready for it. So
that's super cool.
It's like not just that he's doing it, but also that he's enthusiastic enough about it to want to do it, you know, by himself whenever.
And the thing too is, like, what do they say? Like, leaders are readers, right? I mean, it's like a little kitschy saying, but truly, I mean, having, so my one daughter she could read, but she just wasn't great at it. Mm-hmm. And I went with you. Like, I could not figure out how to teach her how to do it. I just, I couldn't. I can't go back that far. I don't remember how the techniques and whatever. So we got her a reading teacher, and reading is so connected to like their confidence, you know, like how much confidence they have. And mm-hmm. and then also just, you know, that if you can read, you can learn anything, you know? And so having good reading skills and being able to like comprehend what you're reading is so critically important just for life. So it's super cool that he like enjoys it and is like yeah. really finding, you know, finding it fun to learn that stuff. That's really cool. So, but yeah, like, another thing that's like that is math. I used to teach math, right? But mm-hmm. it was like high school level math. So I don't yeah. know. I can't teach kids how to like add stuff. I can't do that. I don't know how to do that anymore. But it is similar like that, like with PHP and stuff too. It's like, sometimes you're like, dude, I don't like Git. Like, okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, I just know my aliases now.
Yeah.
You know? It's like, I have some tips maybe for like how to create a pull request using GitHub command line. But even it was funny too, like you take for granted also like all the setup you've got with your dot files after years and years and years of using them. And it's like, they don't even know what dot files are. And so it's like, you're starting from absolute scratch. And they're like, how do I like what is Xcode command line tools or something? It's like, oh, that's yeah. right. I totally forgot you had to do that. Like,
yeah.
you know, before you can install Brew, you got to install Xcode command line tools. You know, it's just like, oh, geez. Haven't been in that world for a long time. You know, it only happens once every time you get a new computer, and you've done it 5 times, so it's pretty quick. Yeah. But when yeah. you got somebody who doesn't even know anything, mm-hmm. it takes a little bit of time. So anyway, he's getting up to speed. And the other thing I was going to say too is this idea of like, you know, so like when somebody's learning a new language, like a foreign language, for example, they say one of the best ways to do that is to just go immerse yourself in that language, in that culture, like just. It's sort of like learning to swim by jumping in the deep end sort of thing, you know? So like somebody's trying to learn Spanish, whatever, you just go, you know, eat with a family that speaks only Spanish or something like that. You know, you might not understand 90% of what they're saying, but you're going to pick up little bits and pieces. And the more you do that, the more you immerse yourself in that, the more you're going to pick up just by context. And so I've been trying to do that as well. Anytime I'm pairing on code, I'll pull him out of that thing that, you know, that series that he's going through, and just be like, hey, you're just going to sit with us while we talk about this code, and you're not going to know what 90% of it is, but that's fine. You're going to pick up some things. You're going to see some things that you'll recognize from what you're working on. And you're like, oh, okay, I know kind of what's going on there. But it's just that idea of like, throw him right into the deep end. And I'm not asking him to contribute any code, but just watch and learn and listen to the discussion and like the trade-offs that we're having to make while we're talking about this code. And what's that comment you just did in a pull request? What's that? I don't know you could do that. You know what I mean? Or mm-hmm. what keyboard shortcut are you using to pull that up? What's that refactor thing that's in PHP Store? And those sorts of things. And so I think that's really helpful too. Just kind of getting them in as early as you can to just seeing production code and how the workflows work and how pairing works and all that stuff. So that's been interesting. I don't know if like what part of your job is to do onboarding for developers, or if you guys pretty much only hire seniors, or like what that looks like for you. But have you had any experiences like this?
No, not directly. I mean, all of the developers that we have, the majority of the developers that we have are senior, and then we've got a couple of mid-level ones that, you know, they kind of pick it up. So, but they're mm-hmm. they're pairing and they're like reviewing and work, you know, we're all working with each other all the time. So and it's nice having a team where they mostly all work in the office, but you know, sometimes you're trying to go back and forth on something and it's like, let's just have a huddle, because the huddle, you can talk through it, you know, you can see what we mentioned Ben Orenstein before, same kind of thing. You know, he knows, he started a company for pair programming. It's just so much easier to sit next to someone, either virtually or in person, and just go through what you need to go through, because you can see what they're saying. You can ask questions about what they're thinking. Text back and forth, it's just, there's too much of a blocker. Like, it's okay for some things, but just to be able to sit down and have like a 5-minute huddle or a pairing session and just figure something out, it's just much, much more useful. And even if, like, you don't have to know the person, as long as you're not sharing company secrets or, you know, breaching NDAs or anything like that, it's easy to sit down with someone in isolation and talk through problems like that. So, but yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Learning a language to immerse yourself, exposure to like a conversational language is very different to like Duolingo. If you go and do Duolingo, it's much different to learn those things in the context of like learning the words than it is to go and actually speak the language. Because what you'll find is, I was trying to, as an adult, relearn to speak Polish, and Duolingo will teach you, you know, the gendered term, the gendered wording and conjugating verbs and all that kind of stuff. But you go and speak to a Polish person and they are talking 100 miles an hour, number one. Like, they're always talking at their native speed because they've been speaking the language for, you know, decades.
Right.
And number two, conversational Polish is often very different to the what you're learning. I had a guy that I used to work with was trying to learn Polish, and he just like set his computer to Polish and was playing on hard mode.
Learning
things that way.
Yeah.
So, you know, he'd reply to emails and everything would be like, you know, where it would say all of the like the reply, the previous reply stuff, it would all be in Polish. All the dates, all of the, you know, such and such said and whatever else. So you get this back every now and then. And like, he wasn't customer facing, so it's not like people outside the business ever saw it, but it was still funny to see it and be like, okay.
Yeah, it's sort of like uninstalling your code editor, you know, your IDE, and just going hardcore mode on Vim. You know, I will figure it out. If I don't know, I will Google it, and I will figure out
stick with it for a week, not forever.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly. And it's or keyboards. You know what I mean? Same thing. It's like, hey, if you're gonna switch keyboards, like stick with it for a couple weeks at least, because if you don't, if you try and switch back and forth, you're not gonna get it. So, anyway. Well, dude, that's all I got for today. And if you got anything else, happy to chat through it. Otherwise, we can wrap this one up.
Nah, I got to go and record some embarrassing videos for this.
You got this, man. I believe in you.
And we'll see how that lands when it gets posted. But it won't just be me. Fortunately, we're gonna have some branding artwork over the top of it, which will make it look better and hopefully distract from my own stupidity.
You're gonna crush it.
We're gonna have fun with it.
No doubt. Absolutely. Folks, thanks for tuning in. You can find the show notes for this episode at northmeetsouth.audio/155. Hit us up on Twitter at Jacob Bennett, at Michael Dorinda, or at North South Audio. If you like this, rate it up in your podcatcher choice. 5 stars would be incredible. And until next time, folks, we'll see you later. Bye-bye.
Bye, everyone.